Hi, this is Dr. Trish Murray. I am a doctor of osteopathic medicine, and I've practiced for many years in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. My clinic is called Discover Health Functional Medicine Center. I originally trained in internal medicine, and I was a primary care internist after my residency. But actually, as I practiced as an internist, I realized that prescribing pill after pill for chronic diseases was really not helping people get better. It was not helping them restore their health. And so I went on to specialize in traditional osteopathy and essentially non-surgical orthopedics. So I became a pain specialist. But also over the years of practicing this, I've realized that the chronic toxicity, chronic inflammation, chronic hormonal imbalances, and chronic infections that people have seem to be the root cause of why they have chronic conditions in the first place. And so I learned of the Institute of Functional Medicine, and I've gone on to become a specialist in functional medicine. And it is practicing this specialty that has led me to doing these podcasts and my present mission of empowering you to restore and optimize your own health through education, community, and support. So if you like this talk and would like to learn more, please go to my website, discoverhealthfmc.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast today with Renee Bernier. Hi, Renee.
Hi.
Renee is a massage therapist, a yoga instructor, a doula, and a women's health advocate. And she was telling me before we got going with our interview that she started out her training as outdoor education as a social worker here in New Hampshire at the University of New Hampshire. But then she actually went out to Colorado and completed her training in exercise sports science and outdoor education in Colorado. So today we're going to try and focus on a number of different topics, but particularly the idea of what is a doula, because I think there's a lot of people out there that don't know what that is, and of course the idea of being a woman's health advocate and what that means. So Renee, does that sound like a good, you know, focus for us today?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So why don't you tell folks about your background and what led you down the path that you have when you started out your education in outdoor education and social work? How did you end up as a doula and a women's health advocate?
Sure, I would love to. So I went into college thinking that I wanted to be a wilderness therapist, somebody that works in trauma through the outdoors. So that's where the outdoor education and social work piece comes in. There's a great program down at UNH. But about halfway through my education there, I got a little bit of wanderlust, as some young people do, and decided I wanted to branch out and move somewhere new and somewhere different. And that led me to Colorado. They had a really wonderful outdoor education program out there. And I completed a semester there. After that semester, I decided to take a break from school to get residency in Colorado because it made the school that I was attending thousands of dollars cheaper. So I decided to take that year, live, work until I could start my education back up again. But prior to moving out there, I had just completed my yoga teacher training that year prior. And a lot of ideas came into my body and mind about the body and mind connection and what that means and how wonderful it really could be. So I wanted to explore those ideas. There were a few massage therapists in my yoga teacher training. And so when I was out in Colorado with that year of kind of openness, I found a massage therapy school the next town over. And it happened that there was a program about to start in, you know, a month or so, and I enrolled myself in the massage therapy program. And it was there that I discovered I wanted to work with mothers. When we did our first prenatal massage clinic in our massage therapy school, I knew. Mm-hmm. I knew the moment that I was working on this woman. She was about 8 months pregnant. I knew that there was something to this. Mm-hmm. And I was really inspired. And so I kind of kept that in the back of my mind as I completed massage school and I entered really the spa world to receive a lot of my clientele, because I was going back into school. So I worked doing massage while I was finishing up my exercise and sports science training. And about a year after, I decided to open up my own practice in Gunnison, Colorado, that was focused on women's health. And that's when I did a little bit more education in massage therapy and prenatal massage. There was a program for doula massage therapists. So you learn all about the anatomy and physiology of a pregnant woman and many, many techniques of how you can support them through the entirety of their pregnancy. So I opened up, and it was very small to start. But I ended up working with many mothers, because once you have your first mom that you work with, they oftentimes talk to their other mother friends, mm-hmm. And referred me to them. So I had several clients that I worked with through the entirety of their pregnancy, doing massage therapy, aromatherapy. I would have them choose different essential oils that they were really drawn to, and I made a spray for them. And so every time they came in, I would spray that spray. We would do our massage session. And then I was fortunate enough to attend two of their births, two different clients' births, and we used that spray during the labor. And it was really amazing to see the woman transform with a little aromatherapy and some of the techniques and massage.
Meaning to help her get through the delivery more smoothly, more flowingly,
yes,
more in connection,
yes,
to the love of the child rather than the pain,
yes,
of the birth.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, is it a magical potion that takes all the pain away? No,
no,
absolutely not. But does it help down regulate the body and get back into, you know, the space where that we were in the massage room,
right,
when she was able to be 100% relaxed,
right,
and right, a really comfortable space. So it was really amazing to see that, mm-hmm, again, mind-body connection.
And as the women are progressing through their pregnancy, did you notice issues with pain, particularly hip pain, pelvic pain, back pain, those,
yep,
types of things?
Specifically those.
Yes.
Yes. Hip, yes, pelvic, back pain were the most common,
yeah,
ailments that I saw.
Yeah, actually,
pregnancy,
as an osteopathic specialist, that's one of my specialties, is to work with pregnant women.
Yes.
And the idea that a lot of the midwives and obstetricians here in my local community send the pregnant women to me for manipulation, because the physiology of the back changes, and the certain muscles become strained and other muscles become lax, and that sets the woman up for discomfort. And there actually was the largest study in manual medicine, particularly in obstetric manual medicine, done and grant through the NIH, the National Institute of Health, on osteopathic manipulation for women in their third trimester of pregnancy. And it showed benefit for them to have improved function and decreased pain. So I am always a proponent of trying to find not only manipulation, but also massage and body work, because, you know, there's not always an osteopath that specializes in it in every community, and there's not always a massage therapist that specializes in these things in every community. And so you have to go with what you can find within, obviously, your radius of where you live. But I am a proponent of everyone being able to get body work, because it's fantastic to help them through this process. So what is a doula?
All right. So a doula is a trained birth professional. We're not a medical professional. We don't deliver the baby. We don't catch the baby. but we are there as a physical support, emotional support, and informational support. So a physical support, mine is a little bit different with my massage therapy background, because I can do more soft tissue manipulation. But a doula provides physical support and physical comfort during labor and birth. So manipulating different points, putting pressure on the hips, low back, doing different techniques with them, if they're comfortable with that. If they have come to me before with their partner and I have taught their partner certain techniques, maybe I'm there just to help facilitate the partner to go and put pressure and giving that nurturing touch. So there's a physical element to it. Emotional support as well. So many times when you're in labor, it may be 24 hours. Right. Maybe it's more than 24 hours. And if you're delivering in a hospital, you could have a couple of nurse shifts. You could have someone delivering that maybe you weren't working with and don't know very well, depending on the hospital that you're with. So to have a continuous emotional support throughout the entirety of the labor can really reduce stress, can reduce intervention. And there is now studies on the reduced intervention that's used when somebody has a continuous birth partner that's not necessarily the father.
Yeah, there have been studies, again, in the manual medicine perspective to show decreased complications during the delivery. Decreased use of forceps, mm-hmm. Decreased use of, not use, but trauma to the baby as well as trauma to the mom, mm-hmm. And it's placenta abruptio, if I say it properly. There's a decrease of that aspect of things as well. So that's awesome. So what does the word doula mean? Is that a particular term?
I think it comes from a birth partner or a birth assistant.
Cool. Yeah. And what's the training for a doula? What's the background of that?
So there's a couple of different routes that you can do. DONA is the nationally recognized one. The Doula Organization National Association. They have certification programs. They're usually a weekend, 2 weekend long programs. I did one that was not DONA certified. And that was a 40-hour training, but I also had the 50-hour massage doula training, which was very in-depth about the anatomy and physiology of women during pregnancies, a lot of their complications and whatnot. So there's a national association that recognizes it, as well as a certification process through massage therapy, and that's the one that I the route that I chose.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And so what does that training, again, took 40 hours in one course program and then 50 hours in another in the mm-hmm. massage. Mm-hmm. And so you were brought up earlier a little bit about a birth partner, not only for folks that choose to go through with a whole pregnancy, but also women who choose to terminate pregnancies. Can you talk about that?
Sure. Yeah, we were talking before about when I first had that experience of massaging the pregnant woman, I was like, wow, I really want to work with mothers. And as this idea kind of stewed and grew in my mind, I was like, that's very isolating and not all women want to be mothers. And so I really wanted to expand my practice to all women as a full spectrum doula. So that's what we call a doula who would also attend an abortion with a woman who maybe does not have the support from her family or from her friends or maybe has to hide it. So I could be a support to a woman who needs that. A lot of people do have support, but maybe afterward there is something lingering, maybe some reproductive trauma that's lingering that maybe they want to attend to heal in their body. And so that's also something that I do as a practitioner, as a massage therapist, is abdominal work, energy work, meditations to kind of get through that process. Because even if you wanted it 100%, there still could be feelings lingering. And it is a big abruption to terminate a pregnancy just in the body itself.
Right. So you were saying that people who go through the doula training can choose to be either a pro-choice doula or a pro-life doula, correct?
Correct. And I was actually speaking to another doula friend down in Concord, and she's been really concerned about the pro-life doula agenda. And I don't have a concern because there's a doula for everybody, you know, whether you're pro-choice or pro-life. I do think as a women's health advocate that I, as a person, want to support a woman in whatever choice that she wants to make. And so if you would like support for that, I would be there. If you'd like support through your entire pregnancy, I would be there.
And that's what's so important in health care and not sick care.
Yes.
Is that health care is about the individual.
Yes.
And individualizing and personalizing the care. And folks, we are all different, whether you like it or not. We come from many different backgrounds. Some good backgrounds, some not so good backgrounds. And we've had our own personal traumas. And they talk about, you know, that the pain body, you know, mm-hmm. of us. And so you emphasize the fact of being a woman's advocate.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that a little bit. What does it mean to be a woman's advocate?
So a women's health advocate is really what we were just talking about, to support a woman regardless of any choice that she has made. I'll kind of backtrack a little bit. When I moved back to New Hampshire after doing all my education out in Colorado, I started volunteering for Starting Point. Those in the local community may know that Starting Point is the agency in Carroll County that works with people who are affected by domestic and sexual violence. And so I've been working there. I volunteer there, and I've been working there for about a year, and I have been opened up to a world of trauma.
Mm. Yes.
And I have found myself in a place of advocacy. And this is advocacy for everybody, but Sacred Circle really does specialize with women's health advocacy because the reality is we see many more women, unfortunately, than men.
Yeah, you were telling me a statistic before we got going that 1 in 4 women, you were saying.
Yes, so 1 in 4 women will experience sexual assault in their lifetime.
Hmm.
And that statistic is really across the board nationally and in New Hampshire and for Carroll County.
Hmm.
So 1 in 4. I mean, everybody really knows somebody, whether they share it or not.
Yeah.
And that's sexual trauma. And then for physical trauma, physical abuse is also around that. 1 in 4, 1 in 5. So we hold a lot of that trauma in our body. But to be a women's health advocate is to understand all of that, understanding traumas that maybe they've been through or not have been through, understanding that people come from all different walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to mention that I'm an advocate for the LGB community, that you know, people think, oh, pregnancy, it's between a man and a woman, and that's the family unit. But as a full-spectrum doula, I want everybody to know that families are different, and they come in all shapes and sizes, and that I'm welcoming of every type of family, every walk of life.
Hmm. So what does it mean to being a trauma-sensitive practice?
So being a trauma-sensitive practice or having a trauma-sensitive practice is being keenly aware that many people that I will see on the table have experienced some sort of trauma. And it was touched upon a little bit in my massage therapy training, but as I've been working in the trauma field, I realize how many people it really is. And when people are on the table, sometimes you can intuit or sense that maybe there have been something that's happened in their life, or maybe they're having a harder time letting go in a certain part of their body, or you come to a certain part of their body and you can tell maybe something has happened. So to be trauma sensitive is to create a very safe environment, create a safe space, that everything I do on the table, I will share beforehand what I'm going to do. So nothing is really a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's really laid out. So a safe place is part of being a trauma-sensitive practice. Giving a person a choice, you know, whether it's the type of body work they want, having them be involved, giving choice in their healing practice and in their healing process. And then empowerment. So with that choice, being supportive of whatever choice that they have. And then finally, building connection. Because healthy relationships and just understanding one another on a human level is incredibly powerful, to be there to witness somebody else's walk of life. And it does not mean that you have to share verbally something that's gone on. I'm not a clinical therapist, but I am an advocate who can support and listen. But what we know about trauma is that the memories of trauma are stored in a different part of our brain that doesn't really process language. It actually is stored in the part of our brain, our limbic system, that feels sensations. And we can release trauma without actually having to say a word.
Well, that's very, very true. And the essence of the limbic system is part of our emotional system. And we are emotional beings first and rational beings second.
Absolutely.
And so we always interact with our environment and our world from our emotions first. Many of us have been in even an argument with their child or their spouse or their significant other, and they got in an argument and then they said things and then they walked out of the room and said to themselves, I can't believe I just said that, or I can't believe I just did that. Mm. And you needed to walk away in order to come down out of your emotional state and realize rationally and act rationally again, because we were so out of control, if you will. But that was our limbic system, our emotional system in action, and you needed to walk away and quiet your nervous system to be able to, if you will, function and be rational again. The other thing, though, is that we talk about our nervous system and unconsciousness being in our brain. And the idea that as we are body workers, whether, again, in the osteopathic manipulative world or in a massage world or a Reiki world or in a shamanic healing world that also I am trained in, the idea is, where is our consciousness really? And the fact that we have a connective tissue in our body that's made up of, yes, muscles, yes, ligaments, but we also have something called fascia. And it's like saran wrap that surrounds everything in your body. There are only three holistic systems in our physical human body. One is the nervous system, your brain and your peripheral nervous system and your spinal cord. Second is your vascular system, your arteries and your veins. If you took these two systems out and made them three-dimensional, yours would look exactly like you, Renee, and mine would look exactly like me, Trish. The third system, and the only other system in our body that can do that, is the fascial connective system. Have you found that when you're just not even talking with patients or clients, and at times you're working on them with the massage or Reiki or with my manipulation, have you found that you get emotional releases or some sort of memories that come up or things like that? Have you had that experience with people?
Yes, absolutely. I would say more so in yoga classes than on the table. I've had a handful on the table where there's an emotional release with crying, which is, I think, wonderful. People are like, oh, I had a massage and I cried. It's like, well, something was released. And we don't have to verbally process that. That happens a lot in yoga classes as well. When we open up our bodies, when we put our bodies in certain positions, maybe, you know, our chest opens, or our pelvis opens, and it's been closed off for many years, and how that release, you know, happens. And so as a body worker, as a somatic body worker, it's amazing to see those releases, and to be in a safe place where it's okay to cry, to allow yourself to cry. And then also that witness, right? Mm-hmm. Witnessing this something profound. I think it's fascinating, and there's so much research out now to back all of this, you know, saying why mindfulness and yoga and body work it is so healing for trauma, because it's working with our nervous system, it's working with our fascia, and it's retraining our bodies to be safe again. When we think, you know, when we have these images of our trauma that come up, our body doesn't know the difference between what's real and what's not. And so if we're thinking of these images and they keep coming up and keep repeating, our nervous system sends those signals out as if your body is actually experiencing that trauma. So the cortisol is pumping, which can lead to adrenal fatigue. And so when we train our body, we train our nervous system to be able to down-regulate and to say, I am here and I am safe. I'm here and I am safe. There can be profound healing in that.
Absolutely. It's our perception of our world and our reaction through our perception of our world. Many of us have been in experiences with other people, and we may not have become as scared or frightful or panicked as someone else. Mm-hmm. And you've sort of, each of us may have been in an experience like that, whatever the experience was, and been like, wow, they're really reacting quite, you know, upset about this situation, and we weren't, and we're able to see that. Because if the roles are reversed in the situations where we act more panicked or more fearful or our pain body comes up, we're not even aware how reactive we are, because again, that's coming from the limbic system. And the other people around us that aren't as emotionally involved are perceiving the situation differently. So it depends on your perception. So another question I'd love to ask is, how do you initiate your relationship? Because, of course, people get that do come from trauma, mm-hmm. Are fearful, and they're protective mm-hmm. of their life and their being and their physical surroundings. How do you work with helping to build trust and those types of things?
So as an advocate, I think it's really different for every person. We have many advocates that work at Starting Point, and we're all not going to be the right fit for every single client that comes through. So I think it's really important, first of all, to understand that you're not going to be the right fit for every single person. But when there are moments of opportunity to build trust, little moments in the shelter, you know, when you're talking to them, playing with their children, creating connection. There are moments when you can recognize and say, maybe I would offer this service to this person because we've built enough connection. And I will be honest, Sacred Circle is very new in the Valley, and it's going to take time, I think, for people to know and recognize the name and what services are really offered. I think working at Starting Point is really wonderful because we're getting some grant funding that actually will allow some of the clients that come through to pay for alternative healing services. They already help pay for talk therapy, but again, research is showing that music therapy, massage therapy, other modalities are very helpful in healing trauma. So staying intimately connected with Starting Point and the resources there.
And you're also trained in Reiki, correct?
Yes.
Yes. So yes. That's another modality. So what is your vision for Sacred Circle?
As I said at the beginning, I've always kind of had this idea of a community center, some type of wellness center since I was in high school. I don't know why, but it's something I've always been called towards. So eventually I would love to have a space that has treatment rooms, multiple rooms for different practitioners, classrooms for educational workshops, maybe weekly, monthly workshops. But I really see a community center where different practitioners could work or rent out space, whether it's acupuncture or nutrition, herbalism, or more traditional nurses, medical staff, like an integrated women's health practice, as there's one opened right in Wolfboro, actually. Mm-hmm. I would love to see something of that nature, an integrative women's health community center.
Well, it's interesting because you're basically describing Discover Health Functional Medicine.
Yeah,
Center.
Yeah.
So, and Renee and I didn't necessarily know each other really well before the interview. She's opened her concept here in the Valley just within the last, what?
2 months.
2 months.
Yeah.
So, and came in, and I was more than willing to talk with her and do this podcast. So we'll have to talk some more.
Absolutely.
But about what we do here exactly, because we have two functional medicine specialists, myself and a nurse practitioner. Mm-hmm. We also have a health coach. And we come from particularly around pain. Mm-hmm. And I do, as I say, get referred a lot of women that are pregnant from the midwives and the obstetricians in the area. But also we work from the idea of back pain or any type of joint pain for men and women. Mm-hmm. But we also work from the idea of digestive issues, emotional anxiety, depression, stress-related issues, and also hormonal imbalances and particularly autoimmune diseases. Mm-hmm. And finally, another niche for us would be brain fog and cognitive decline. So we come from many different avenues, and also in this building, there are multiple massage therapists and also a gentleman that does applied movement neurology. But we don't have someone that really focuses specifically on women's health, so that might be something for us to talk about.
I look forward to it.
Yeah, so, you know, the thing about integrative medicine is it's expensive, you know, for people. So how are you going to make services affordable and accessible, particularly in our local community? And then the other question I would like you to answer is, for folks that are listening to this that aren't from our local area, what recommendations would you have for them to find people like us or like yourself?
So right now, a lot of insurance companies are starting to cover things like chiropractic and acupuncture. Again, I think it's coming down the pike that massage therapy will be covered by insurances in the next 5 to 10 years. That's my hope, and I think there are still people working on the ground to make this happen. As of right now, I really only know of Blue Cross Blue Shield that offers insurance coverage for massage therapy. I think getting a medical massage certification could help me get in covered by more insurances, so that insurance could help people pay for prenatal massage. And that it's not just pain, injury, trauma, that it's actually preventative. Mm-hmm. In a lot of European countries, it's already covered. It's just mm-hmm. part of your healthcare plan because it's part of your health and well-being, general upkeep, as well as healing from accidents, injuries, things of that nature. So applying for coverage under insurance, Blue Cross, Blue Shields, it's a mountain of paperwork. I will get through it.
Mm-hmm. insurance is always a mountain.
It always is, absolutely. Getting a medical certification in the next couple of years, I think, could help me get into that coverage. And then offering a sliding scale, not as a big publicity that everyone knows that it's a sliding scale, but I don't want people to be turned away because they can't afford it, because I really believe that massage therapy, and especially massage therapy through pregnancy or after termination, is incredibly healing and incredibly powerful. And I think it should be accessible to as many people as possible. So those are a few ways.
Okay. And they're very, you know, beneficial ways, in the essence that people listening have to realize that insurance is out there, but and insurance is important. We all need medical insurance. There's no doubt of that. But insurance is for sick care. Mm-hmm. And insurance is not meant to be, if you will, for healthcare.
Yeah.
And healthcare, you know, if you're willing to spend money on vacation, if you're willing to spend money on a yoga class, if you're willing to spend money on a gym, then the idea is you're spending money on your healthcare. Mm-hmm. And if you're willing to spend money on knowing which foods you need to buy organic and which foods you can go ahead and buy non-organic to save some money, that takes education. And education is not paid for, typically, by insurance. There sometimes are ways to do group visits and things, but then people still have to pay their copay, and they still have to pay their deductible. So many times, like next week, we're about to initiate a 5-week program on what's called the elimination diet, and we're offering it for a flat fee of $150 for 5 weeks with a functional medicine specialist and a health coach in the room during that time. That's an amazingly reduced and affordable price, and that's what we're trying to do, is make it affordable. But if someone chose to take that, and we do offer it for people with their insurance, but to be honest, if someone has a copay of $20, and those copays aren't even realistic anymore, mm-hmm. most people's copay is around $40 today, and if you have a deductible of $2,000 or more, then you notice you're going to pay more using your insurance than if you just paid the flat fee of $150. So it's very important that people understand their insurance. And we just did a podcast about insurance with our financial person here, Pam. So if you haven't listened to that insurance literacy podcast, please make sure folks go back and listen to that. But the idea is, yeah, let's make things more affordable, at least within a reason, mm-hmm. that businesses, medicine is a business, And we need to be able to pay our electricity bills. We need to be able to pay our staff, just like any business does. But, again, within reason, because it is a service, and to try and help people.
Absolutely.
So the other question, Renee, was the idea of, we're talking, you know, you and I are here in the White Mountains of New Hampshire, in this beautiful place we have chosen to live in. But there may be people listening from other countries or any other part of this beautiful United States of America. So how would they maybe look up or find or Google, you know, practitioners like yourself? What would you, or facilities like Starting Point? How would they find that in their communities?
I would look up doulas in your local area. It is a growing field. I think there's this kind of coming back to understanding that women have been supporting other women in birth since the beginning of time, and putting value back on that. So there are actually many growing bodies of education and teaching of doulas, and more doulas are being certified every day. All across the country and all across the world. There really is a movement happening. So finding a doula in your local area.
And that's spelled D-U-H-L-A, correct?
D-O-U-L-A.
Oh, I spelled it completely wrong.
Yeah,
sorry, everybody.
Actually...
Don't listen to me. Renee, would you spell that again?
D-O-U-L-A, doula.
D-O-U-L-A,
yes.
Doula.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, or birth support, birth partner. Those are different key phrases that you could just plug right into Google. And then as for Starting Point, that is related to domestic and sexual violence. So oftentimes if you type in a women's shelter, something will pop up. We're known in our valley and in our community as a shelter, but we really do so much more. I actually do prevention education. So I teach healthy relationship skills in middle schools. I'm not doing as much of that anymore as I'm focused on Starting Point. But we offer an array of services to our community members, whether that's legal support or emotional support.
That's awesome. Well, Renee, this has been fantastic. Thanks for coming over and talking with me. And I'm glad to know what's been going on for you. And we're going to have to talk some more.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
So everybody out there, thanks for listening. This has been Discover Health Functional Medicine Center, Dr. Trish Murray, a functional medicine specialist. And if you haven't been to my website, discoverhealthfmc.com, please make sure you go. I have my new book, Make a Dent in Chronic Disease, Your Guide to Living Pain-Free Through Functional Medicine. And that DENT is an acronym that stands for detox, exercise, nutrition, and transformation. It is your roadmap to giving you the tools for self-guided healing. Also on my website, on the home page, there are multiple different little free educational programs. One is called 10 Ways in 10 Days to Stop Your Suffering and Live a Pain-Free Life, where you get a video, a short video, every day for 10 days, giving you a solution or a challenge to change and transform your life. Another one is, many people with digestive issues may have leaky gut syndrome. You may have heard of leaky gut syndrome, but not really know what it is. So there's a program on my homepage entitled The 7 Warning Signs You May Have Leaky Gut and the Natural Processes in Order to Heal It. So there's a couple examples. And then, of course, in our shop, there are multiple different classes, folks. We are all about empowering you with self-guided tools for healing. So take care, everybody. To your health. We'll talk to you on our next podcast.